going back to Ephesians before we get there. Let's stop at Colossians, all right? Which is, if you're coming from Ephesians, it's after Philippians. Colossians 1. Paul said this, verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus and the love, for the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. Now, what's the hope? Peter said, born again unto a lively hope, unto an inheritance, incorruptible, reserved in heaven for you. Paul said this, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before, in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is now come to you. Now, it is this inheritance Paul was speaking about when he therefore said in Ephesians that we read, he said, in whom you have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to him that worketh all things after the counsel of his will. He said, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, all right, the gospel of your salvation, which is a word concerning this inheritance. Now, let's break it down. What Paul was saying is, like a man lives, let's say, lives under a bridge. This man has no knowledge of the fact that he was born, it says you are born again unto a lively hope. He was born into a family where his great-grandfather left him an inheritance and is the only surviving great-grandchild. And the inheritance amounts to $300 million that is there. Because he has no knowledge of this inheritance, the condition of his life does not reflect it in any way. He is living under a bridge. Then a lawyer comes to meet him and comes with the gospel, the word of truth, the gospel of his salvation. In other words, good news of his salvation. Brings out the document and says, you have no business living this way. Because you have an inheritance of $300 million that is stored up in this bank for you. The man says, you must be lying. He brings out the document that sure gives him the evidence of the existence of that inheritance. He screams and rejoices and says, my condition now is going to change to reflect my inheritance. Now, so what Paul started by saying is this, that you have an inheritance in heaven. Now, the condition of your life must reflect. It says, if it starts reflecting that inheritance, you will be to the praise of the glory of God. People will look at your life and say, praise God. God is good. Praise God. All right? If that thing is reflected in your inheritance, say, praise God. The transformation will be so drastic that they will say, praise the Lord. Said, now, let us tell you the order of this inheritance. He said, you heard of it in the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. But at the minute you heard it and believed, what God did was to seal you with the Spirit. Now, follow what he said. He said, the Spirit is the earnest of that inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, which is the earnest. The word earnest, all right, means a foretaste, a guarantee, or a down payment for our inheritance. In other words, this is what the picture is painting. When he says something is sealed by the Spirit, it means it's separated to you by the Spirit. This is what he's painting. If a man wants to buy a car, and they said the car is 40 million naira, he goes into the shop, the car is in the showroom. He says, you know, I want this car, and I'm coming to buy this car. The salesman says, all right, no problem. He says, now, because I want to buy this car, and I'm going to buy this car, can you remove this car, right, off, seal this car for me, take it off the showroom, park it somewhere, put my name on it, because I'm coming to pick this car up in 30 days. The man will tell you, I can't do that. I can't seal this car in your name. Why? He says, what if you don't come? He says, all right, the way I will show you that I'm going to buy this car is that I'll give you a guarantee that I'll buy this car. I'm going to give you 15 million now. And then in 30 days, I will come back with the 25 million or else I lose the car. Now, that is no longer an interest, that's a commitment. You understand this? The minute he does that and puts the 15 million, the heart of the salesman is at rest that this car has been sold. Because heads, I win, tail, he loses. So he will come and redeem it. So what he's telling you is that I've given, all right, the earnest of that car, which is the I've guaranteed it, is the what you call a down payment. And then in 30 days, I am going to come and redeem the purchased possession. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, when you hear a message about your inheritance, follow me here. And God speaks to you about something, and you read the word of God. What happens as you hear about your inheritance and you understand it, the Holy Spirit comes in that moment. If you are believing, let's say, for something, let's say healing or something, he seals it and he takes it off and says, this experience can go off the shelf because it is yours. What he has done is that inside your heart, he has given you what is called an earnest, which is a foretaste of that inheritance with the view of redeeming the purchased possession over a short period of time. So what he has done is he has borne witness in your heart, all right, about that thing, saying that it is yours. And then what he wants to do further is to make sure it is no longer just a witness, but something that you have in your hands. Let me explain this way. How many people have been to heaven and come back? Nobody. How many people believe they're going to heaven? Everybody. How do you know there's heaven? You don't know. You believe it. If I tell you there's a city after Echo Atlantic, the streets are made of bronze, the gates are made of gold, diamonds are all over, let's go there, you won't move. You'll say, listen, I'm not going to listen to some cock and bull story here. Who are you going to be telling that? You won't move. So why do you believe? There is some place you are going to where the streets are paved of gold and all of that. You know why you believe? The minute you heard it, because it is the word of truth, the Holy Spirit enters and bears witness with it in your heart. Are you following what I'm saying here? And gives you a foretaste of heaven, which means that witness is there that heaven exists. Do you get what I'm saying here? If what is said is not truth, the Holy Spirit won't bear witness to it in your heart and will push it back. So it won't give a down payment on it. So when you hear about healing or hear about something, God delivering or something, the Holy Spirit bears witness and he enters your heart and registers and says this is true. Then he says, I have one more assignment. Apart from bearing witness to it as the foretaste of this and the guarantor of this, I am going to produce this particular thing, which means I'm going to redeem the purchased possession in your life, which is not only am I going to register that this car is yours, I'm going to make sure you drive out of this room with this car one day. Now, but what he gives you, first of all, is a witness. This is the explanation why a Christian can see something in the Bible, know that it is true, pray for 10 years for it, not get it, but it doesn't change his conviction about God and Jesus. What is going on? The person knows inside their heart. What has happened? When the word entered, the Holy Spirit bore witness to that word that what you heard here is true. This thing is in the Bible. This promise is real. God answers prayers. This thing is true. The witness is there. You don't yet have the manifestation, but the witness. Listen, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, some people, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, which means they carried the witness on the inside of themselves till they died. They didn't see it, but they believed it on the inside. So Paul was coming to say this. The Holy Spirit has now come, that everything that there is a witness in your spirit, you must get in your lifetime. Are you following what I'm saying here? That is, he will redeem the purchased possession. First thing he will do is he will bear witness to it that is true as and guarantee it in your heart, give you a foretaste of it in your heart. That's why rejoicing, all right, is about continuously tasting that thing. It's an exercise of the spirit within, all right? And then he says, I'm going to redeem it. Now, Paul, knowing that, said, therefore, here is the key. Knowing that you have heard the word of God, knowing that you have received the Spirit as the earnest of that inheritance, he said, in order to make it happen, I bow my knees to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Father of glory, that he will give you that Spirit in a form of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. He will open the eyes of your understanding that this is what is required for there to be a redemption of the full thing, not just a foretaste of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he moved from earnest inheritance. By the time he prayed the prayer, he said that you might know the riches of his glorious inheritance. Did you get what I said now? So what has happened to people is that anything they've seen in the Word of God, look, that lady, she saw something inside the Word of God. All right? She had the witness in her heart. Same thing happened to Abraham. Some rich guy showed up. She digressed with that. You know why? The eyes of her understanding had not been opened up to what she knew. Okay? Then she wrote, according to what you taught, I went to the Word of God, my dear friends. It is when she wrote this, I knew the first property transaction was Genesis 23. I didn't know it. Those scriptures she quoted, I didn't know you could use it to a real estate transaction. What happened? The eyes of her understanding had been enlightened. Which meant that Paul said, you will stop at the witness in your heart with no manifestation if the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That is, the same power that raised up Jesus will come into your life. If you have that, it will raise you up in your career with the same way it raised up. Against all odds, a force will be moving you up in life. When others say there's a casting down, that power will be taking you up. That there is nothing that will be able to stop you once the spirit of wisdom and revelation comes in the knowledge of Jesus that you have. So what's happening really? That's why James said, ask for wisdom. That is, you know, I shared this with a friend in England. He told me, he said, I see it. There's a book we read, written by Leo Yeoman. She said, she was a medical doctor, she was suffering from some disease. She said, look at what she said, I'm going to read this evening. She said, I got so desperate that I started praying. They said, how long did you pray? She said, I prayed morning, afternoon, and night. The only thing I was doing, here this woman was praying. They said, did you get it? She said, I didn't get it. She said, I prayed every moment of the day that God will move. Said, there was no movement. Said, then I realized I didn't have enough light to take it. What that means is that there's a witness inside. All right? People are praying, God, let this thing happen in my life. Let this thing happen in my life. What they should be praying is open the eyes of my understanding. Once the eyes of your understanding is opened up, the Bible says with an open face, you will behold as though you are looking at a mirror when you are reading the Word of God. It is no longer you are reading the Bible. You are looking into a mirror. The Word of God will mirror your situation in exactness. It says, and as you behold what is going on there, it starts happening inside your own life. That the Spirit of God will transform you into the same image from one level of glory to another level of glory. So what's absent, and that's what makes it the most powerful, all right, prayer in the New Testament, because it's what translates the witness of revelation in your heart, all right, and makes the word flesh on the inside. So with that, let's quickly just move on and you see what James said. That's why that prayer should be offered up. Once you are believing God for something and you're confessing, keep praying that. Open the eyes of my understanding. Open the eyes of my understanding. Open the eyes of my understanding. Because without that, all people will have. Look, you might be able, to preach it with power. All right? Because that is it's an anointing. All right? You might be able to use, all right, the anointing. I'm preaching with power. That doesn't mean the word is flesh. That's why Jesus, when he anointed a man with spit, all right, and clay, the man was anointed. But he said, I still see men as trees. So there might be an anointing on the inside, but the vision won't be clear. Then he told him, there's a second walk. Go and wash at the pool called Sent. Then he washed and said, I can now see clearly. So when Paul prayed that, they now started seeing clearly. And what they were seeing in the Word of God was, look, that lady said, she wrote it on her Bible. She said, from Genesis 23:16, this is the exact amount that is going to come out of this deal. It came that way. So it's not that she's talking theory. It came that way. And it's because she saw something. So James went on, all right? And let me close with this. He quickly went on and said this. He said, wherefore, in verse 19, my brethren, let every man be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to wrath, The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Lay aside all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness. Receive with meekness the engrafted, which means that word is already engrafted. That engrafted means implanted. The word is already there, but start receiving it, which is able to save your soul. Don't just be a hearer, but a doer. And how do you become a doer? In verse 24, for whosoever beholdeth himself and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, it says, and continues therein, which means his eyes are now opened up and is looking into the perfect law of liberty. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, which means what he's seen in the word of God, he begins to do it. As he's looking at it, God shows him what has to be done. You know, somebody said this. I'm a faith person. I grew up under faith teachers. I grew up being taught confession. But you know what he said? Every description of faith in Hebrews 11 was an act. By faith, Abel offered a sacrifice. By faith, Noah built an ark. In other words, once you start looking at the word of God with the eyes of your understanding and enlightened, God starts showing you this is what you need to do for this thing to come to pass. He says he becomes a doer of the work, which means he's looking at it and says, I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to do this. So that lady, she saw it, but it was when she helped somebody in need that the thing was released. She had seen it, but the word will show you, do this, do this, do this, make this adjustment. I mean, I'm believing God for something. God told me, said, listen to me. All right? I told a friend of mine, he said, listen to me. For this to happen, you stay indoors. You only go to the office from 12. We have to work on this together. I saw it there. All right? Okay? Looking at it, I saw it. I was listening to Pastor Bukawushika yesterday. She said something. Something adjusted on the inside of me. I saw something in what she said. God starts showing you. Adjust this. Do this. You are looking at the work. All right? What will make that particular thing happen, right, in your life? And every time you take an action based on what you have seen, it produces something in your life. So he went on and said, if any man seems to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, which means doesn't control his tongue, deceives his own heart, that man's religion is vain. Pure religion there is undefiled before God. And the Father is to visit fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So it talks about you also now going out, which probably is what happened for her, and helping people that I need instead of focusing and concentrating on your own self. As you go out and help people that I need. In fact, it tells us here, the next chapter, I said, do not have this faith in your heart with respect of persons, which means don't operate with this faith and gravitate towards people you feel, right, you can gain some advantage from them and start believing God and mixing it with this. He said if you do that, it is called transgression. It is sinful. In fact, what he said there, he said, God has chosen those who are poor to be rich in faith. For the first time I saw what God was saying. He said, therefore, love your neighbor as yourselves. I saw it. When I was listening, it was yesterday I saw it. When I was listening to Pastor Bukawushika, that's the most powerful mentoring session I've ever heard any human being on the earth say. She wasn't just talking the general truth in specific terms. You see, a lot of people, you know, when they start gravitating. If you check the word of God, even when God is going to get a king to help you, he uses a poor man to tell the king. He said the inheritance is with the poor, not with the rich you are gravitating to. Now listen, when Pharaoh wanted to know who will interpret his dream, he went to the chief butler. It was the chief butler that mentioned his name. So James was saying, if you treat the poor people wrong, you've cut off the supplies of God in your life. If you are an entrepreneur, you know you don't treat people wrongly. Let me tell you this. If you build a business from scratch up, you will know that the secret to business, all right, is your integrity is what you're going to use. You don't play, you don't treat people wrongly. You see someone that comes in, I know, big man, is government patronage, rent seeking. That's how the wealth came. Which means you can talk to anybody anyhow, so long as the big man, you say, yes, sir, ranka didi. Okay, I do that. Then they do government. But if it's business you are building, wealth. In fact, someone told me this story. He said, sir, I don't understand. I said, why? He said, I was working in a hotel. He said, I came to do a conference. He said, and the people who are AGMs were shouting at, he said, the person who owned the business stood at the back quiet. And when they had finished, he came and said, my name is Susan, so please, could you help me in this area? He was the most polite. Because it is spirit that is sustaining the business. She said, for example, many people start doing hair. They want to do the hair of some celebrity. They start running after that. Instead of doing the hair of their friends properly. She gave an example of when she went somewhere and saw somebody's hair in a shop, in an office. Said, who made that for you? No person. The person said, is this person? Where does she live? Called one far place. Said, I'll get my driver to go and get. Today, that's the person that does her hair. It came from somebody low. All right? And I've looked at it. This kind of information, sometimes people are driving their car. They ask Hillary Clinton, why was your husband so good? People don't know it. That people in power listen to small people. She said, we will do a strategy session in the situation room about the economy. He will walk out of the office and he will go to the next janitor and say, what do you think if in your house you had this situation? So when the janitor finishes, he will say, that's what we are going to do, and be good. You don't know how many big deals. There was a conversation behind the car. The driver just said, Oga, I heard the thing where you talk, sir. Make you no vex, so. But that thing where you won't do, there was one boy I know, where they worked before, about 15 years ago. If they do, I'm well, though. Are you sure? Yes. And he's a very honest man. I can vouch for the boy. And he signs $1 million deal on what his driver told him. I said, this man became prime minister on the chief butler. That is why when you destroy your integrity with your neighbors, you cut your supply off. He said, God said this. He said, the key is love your neighbor as yourself. Don't gravitate to the rich. Love your neighbor. Don't forget when David was going to capture the things that were lost. It was one broken man that gave him the strategy to do it. Don't forget when they were going to promote Mordecai. It was somebody that told the king about what Mordecai did. Don't forget that when Jesus went to enter a city, it was a woman that had five husbands you could walk through that opened up the entire city. God said he has left this inheritance in the hands of low people. All right? So anybody who is high up there misses everything. Listen, it's not by trying to fly up. It's by going low. That's the secret of this thing. So somebody goes to an office, sees an elderly man as the doorman. Talks to him anyhow, climbs up, sees a GM, half his age, calls him, sir, how are you doing, sir? God says, we have seen. The day the GM wants to decide, is that dumb man that will say, that guy, very arrogant boy. He said, are you serious? Are you following what I'm saying? What this man James thought, heavy strategy. Then I remembered, I read a book many years, I can't remember, one of the wealthiest men in America. He was with his son. They'll go on the train, the son, when they get out, he'll be giving out $100 tip. He said, why are you giving these people all this kind of money? He said, I've realized in life, the doors were open by these people you are saying people. They are the ones that opened the door. So it might look like it's big players, but you just find out that somebody somewhere small is in that. That's why. So people that are around you, says love your neighbor. That's why when Job prayed for his friends, his captivity was turned around. What will bring the results is around you. Is around you. Many people keep shooting up, and it's not yet time for that. If they do what's right around them, if they do what's right around them, and treat the people around them correctly, then it begins to open up doors. Then you know what happens? Doors start getting opened up where you don't know how it happened. But there is no door that opens up in this life for you that didn't come by a recommendation from somebody. You might not know the person, but somebody. I went to speak somewhere in Abuja, and when I saw the people, all the people that were there, all right, to talk. Till today, I don't know how they called me. But it has to be somebody in that system. Not way up, because the man who was way up doing it didn't know me. Somebody low down that must have said, are you looking for a pastor? Yes. You want the pastor to speak here? Yes. I think I know the pastor. All right. That can speak. He said, why do you know him? He will just tell a story of something you did, maybe your integrity before them. They say, okay, go and call the person. So don't think that these big things come from, you'll be surprised as to how they arrive at the conclusion. So when you look at these big things that happen, all right, it comes from, it might not come from all these processes we're seeing, just somebody somewhere that pushes it in. And the reason why is because there's a witness in the heart. So she ended up by saying, she said, stand up and look at everybody around you. Everybody is important. She said this, everybody is what? Important. And that the way you treat everybody around you will count in your future. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening.